Our New Testament reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is the word of our Lord. There are various and all kinds of different social and cultural norms that exist around the globe. There are various ways that people interact with one another and that and they behave in a given context. There are numerous understandings that govern an individual society. And some of those social and cultural norms can be pretty interesting and a little quirky at times. For instance, in Norway, the social norm for eating a burger is to eat it with a knife and a fork. In China, it is considered to be culturally and socially acceptable to potty train your children in the streets, so they make children's pants with slits in them for convenience. In India, you are not to give anyone a gift using your left hand. In Japan, it is socially and culturally acceptable to cover your abdomen with your hands during a rainstorm. In Greece, when children lose their teeth, they throw them off the roof, and they believe that a pig is going to come and retrieve those teeth. In Asia and the Middle East, it is the ultimate sign of disrespect if you refuse water, food, or any sort of coffee from your host. In Russia, if you refuse a drink, then it is also a huge sign of disrespect. Oftentimes, a business meeting starts with a healthy dose of vodka. So to reject that healthy dose of vodka is to show utter disrespect towards the individual leading the meeting. In Japan and China, if someone offers you their business card, you are to receive it with two hands, and you are supposed to study it intently and carefully for several minutes before then placing it in your pocket. And in France, the social and cultural norm is to take 2 hours to drink a single cup of espresso. So there are all kinds of interesting ways that people interact with one another and what is considered to be socially and culturally acceptable. We have our own social and cultural norms here in the States. The South is loaded with all kinds of rules and etiquette that you are to follow. It is customary to respond using the term sir or ma'am, and the term y'all is a staple in conversation. In the South, your hair is always to be curled and styled and makeup on at all times when you're out in public, even if you are just riding out to the bank or the post office, even Walmart. At a dinner party, your elbows are never to touch the table, and you are never to begin eating until everyone has been seated and served. If you are returning someone's borrowed dish or their Tupperware container, you are never to return that container empty. A Southern belle is always to be charming, polite, and hospitable. Anger is never to be presented in a public setting. She is always to respond diplomatically and with a big smile on her face. In the South, chivalry is expected in all forms. So if a gentleman is walking with a lady down the sidewalk, the gentleman is to walk on the street side of the sidewalk. He is always to stand whenever a lady enters the room and is always to remove his hat whenever he enters a building. So these are just some of the social norms and the codes of conduct that occur in the South. And really, I think they stretch to all regions of the states. I think we all have our certain rules and our codes of conduct that we follow. But no matter where we go in this world or who we are interacting with, there are social and cultural norms that govern each society. So it is no surprise that there is a list of norms that govern our Christian faith. And Paul delineated these norms for us in our passage of Philippians. According to Paul, Christians are to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. We are to look to the interest of others at all times. We are to live humble lives, extending Christ's love, compassion, and sympathy at all times. And really, we can sum up all of our Christian norms into one principle. And that principle is to have the same mind that was in Christ within us. Our list of Christian norms is much shorter when compared to the list of cultural norms that occur around the globe. And it is not as detailed as the codes of conduct and the etiquette that people follow in the South. But it is still a steep order, and it is hard for us to do these things and to follow these Christian norms. Paul's admonishment in this passage is for all Christians around the globe to live in such a manner that they follow in Christ's footsteps, replicating his example of harmonious living, offering compassion, sympathy, love, and peace at all times. As Paul outlines the Christian norms and the social etiquette of our faith, he presents us with this code of conduct in such a manner that it seems like it would flow effortlessly out of us, like all of these things would come naturally to us. And sometimes they do. There are days in our lives when it is very easy for us to extend love to another person or to offer peace or generosity and compassion to others. But then there are those other days in our lives when it is extremely difficult for us. It's hard for us to even smile at a stranger walking down the street or exercise patience while we are driving or extending kindness to the customer representative on the other end of the phone. There are various times in all of our lives when it is extremely hard for us to follow this list of Christian norms. A couple weeks ago, you all met my friend Nancy Summerlin, who is here, and she was preaching for you all. Nancy is a very kind woman. I met her when I was working as an intern for a church outside of Richmond several years ago, and she was the pastor of that church. And if you happened to stay for the coffee hour following our worship service, then you would have seen that Nancy was wearing a clergy collar. And a lot of ministers wear clergy collars. But Nancy will openly share with you that she loves to wear her clergy collar. And she will share with you that on Sundays when she has it on, she keeps it on throughout the entire day. So as she's running her errands on Sunday afternoon, she has it on. As she's going to the mall, to lunch, to the gas station, everywhere she goes. She says that she enjoys wearing her clergy collar when she's running those errands because she likes who she is when she's wearing it. She says when she is wearing her clergy collar, she notices that she is more patient towards other people. She is kinder, more hospitable. She is more intentional about the words that she chooses to use. She says it is a visible reminder about how she is to act and interact as a Christian in this world. Now, Nancy is one of the sweetest, kindest, and most generous people I know, and she follows just about every social norm and etiquette rule that Emily Post ever wrote. She has been working in ministry for many, many years, and prior to her career in ministry, she was married to a minister. So I find it quite humorous when she says that she has to wear this clergy collar as a visible reminder about how to behave as a Christian. Clearly, she has a little bit of training. But I share her story with you, and I offer her background information because I think it illumines just how difficult it is for all of us to follow in Christ's footsteps and to replicate his behaviors in this world. Even ministers and even the people that we deem as the kindest and the most sweetest still struggle with this. Now, in just the same way that Nancy uses her clergy collar as a visible reminder about how to act and interact as a Christian in this world, Paul clearly identifies in his passage of Philippians what his reminder is and what the motivating event is that compels him to model his life after Christ. For Paul, that reminder and that motivating event is Christ's crucifixion, knowing that Christ humbled himself to the point of death on a cross for the sake of all humanity is what motivates him and compels him to mirror Christ's behaviors in this world. I'm sure for most of us, Christ's crucifixion is compelling enough to motivate us to live our lives reflecting Christ in this world. But I would like to propose an additional element that would further motivate us. And that other element is sheer gratitude. A gratitude for all that God has provided us with in our lives and for all that God will continue to provide us with. Last week, we talked at length about the story of the Israelites and how God was with them every step of the way and providing for them throughout their journey through the wilderness. God provided for them from beginning to end, from beginning with the escape from Egypt, freeing them from slavery, to the parting of the Red Sea, to providing water for them and filling their camp with quail and bread, to then, in our Exodus passage this morning, providing water again from a rock. Exodus is one of the books of the Bible where you repeatedly see how involved God is in the lives of the Israelites and how he is providing a steady hand of provision. And we can see the same thing in our own lives. We can go chapter by chapter, recalling all the various ways that God has provided for us in our own personal lives. If we reflect on all that we possess, ranging from the cell phone in our pocket or our purse, to the car that we have parked outside, to the roof that we have over our head at night, and the soft pillow that we lay our head on, to all the food that fills our fridges. As we take stock of all these things and we recognize that God is the source of all of it, then it creates a sense of gratitude within us for all that God has provided us with. And if we do a quick inventory, reflecting on all the various events of our lives that have transpired, and the difficult times, the hardships that we have faced, and those times when God was with us throughout it all, this is what fills us with gratitude. There is a deep sense of gratitude generated within us as we reflect on all that we possess and all the ways that God has provided for us throughout our lives. So perhaps all of our possessions are our visible reminders, our clergy collar, if you will. They serve as a visible reminder, and they motivate us to follow Christ's or Paul's list of Christian norms. And perhaps that deep sense of gratitude that wells up within us as we reflect on all the ways that God has provided for us during the hardest struggles of our life will further compel us to mirror Christ in this world, even on those days when we struggle to do so the most. May we all choose to follow in Christ's footsteps, replicating his example of sympathy and compassion and love and peace to all people at all times. And on those days when it is difficult for us to do so, may all the visible reminders that we possess and all the gratefulness that wells up within us as we recall the various ways that God has provided for us, may it be enough to inspire and compel us to mirror Christ in this world. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.